Hour number one, hour two, all open. Maddie's going to come in. I'm going to talk nothing but Saints. Might get a reports on the Pelicans' first practice at home. 6 days away from their preseason opener right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Ain't that tough enough? Ain't that
tough enough? Man, how can you afford gas for that big SUV?
I pay less for gas than everyone else. I got the free GetUpside gas app and get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time I buy gas.
Hold on. You're getting up to 25 cents off a gallon with the free GetUpside gas app while I'm paying full price?
You know it. People earned over $1 million last year. You just got to take a picture of your gas receipt and bam, up to 25 cents a gallon cash back.
You don't have to tell me twice. I'm downloading the free GetUpside gas app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code HOT for a 25 cent a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next tank. Just download the free GetUpside app at the App Store or Google Play and use promo code HOT. Save money on gas on every fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code HOT. That's H-O-T. Visit GetUpside.com for terms.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of heart disease. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mahente.
All NFL players get paid a lot. You're not going to get paid more than me, though, because I'm the guy when it comes to clearing it out. Y'all take care of
business. Spoken like a true wide receiver. Way to go, Roscoe Jenkins, team of me.
Mark, his name is first on the show, so we get it. You know, we get it.
Me Sean, as they like to call me, for those that don't know me. But anyway.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio or streaming live on the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Pelicans off and running, or flying, however when you look at it, right? They flock up. They're birds. They go through the air. Anyway, they will be playing basketball 6 days from today right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. They'll be taking on Minnesota on the road. Then on Wednesday, it's Orlando at Chicago Friday. Then the following Monday, it'll be at Utah to wrap up the preseason. Wednesday, October 20th, they'll take on the 76ers over at the SKC. And it'll be the season opener. So we got plenty to get into there. We have so much now we're going to get into, obviously, on that as well. But this hour, it's our college football segment with head coaches. That way, if you're a Wave fan, Colonels fan, Lions fan, those coaches will be live. I have to record Coach Napier at 7 in the morning on Tuesdays because his meetings are during my show, so I can't ask you to call in, Cajun fans, with the question. But if you have a question for Coach Rebo, Coach Fritz, or Coach Selfo, tweet at us. Tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA, and I'll pass it along to them and see what their answer is. If you have a question, again, Wave fans, Lions fans, Colonels fans, you got a question for your coaches, tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. I'll pull it up and I'll ask him when we have him on here coming up. So we'll talk about that this hour. Ali Cosell will join us in the 2 o'clock hour for a quick report of what he saw from the Pels today in practice. And then we will, you know, dissect that game and kind of look forward and go with the takeaways, good and bad. I've been asking you that for our question of the day. Matty Hudak, Saints Wire, will join us here in studio to go over that there as well. So without further ado, though, let's get the coaches talk off and running as we will kick it off with head coach Billy Napier of the Cajuns. They won 28-20 against Georgia Southern a week ago. A tough game. It went back and forth. I mean, it was one that literally was won in the last minute by their defense, but Georgia Southern was on their side of the field. Tough place to play. He said to us last week that he thought it was going to be a game like that.
They've won a lot of games, a lot of history, tradition. It's a great venue. Their fans, their students, they played really hard in the game. You know, they showed up ready to compete, and you know, they've got athletes, man. And I thought they played probably their best game of the year. And certainly we started a little slow and, you know, that made it competitive. We finally got a little bit of a lead and had an opportunity to kind of put it away and weren't able to do that. So, it's going to be good for our team, but, yeah, good conference win, man. And, certainly thankful for that and, moved on Sunday and looking forward to, the next challenge.
All right, well, let's just continue it here with head coach Billy Napier of the Raging Cajuns. And coach, I think when you look at that game, I know a lot of times coaches after a win sometimes may say it would say team victory. Coach, that truly was. Big sacks and key moments at the end of the game, blocked field goals, big plays on offense, a little luck as well, coach, right? An errant snap that becomes a big play by your running back. It really was a team victory in every facet.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we won the hidden yardage battle on special teams, I think, by 83 yards. We made two game-changing plays, blocked the field goal, blocked the PAT. Defensively, we were 4 out of 5 on fourth down, got an interception, so we're 5, you know, takeaways, played turnover-free football. You know, quarterback rating was 170, made some big plays, 3 touchdowns, you know, so, you know, collective effort there. I think it's the type of team that we're going to be this year. I think we're always going to kind of be a combination of our offense, defense, and game changers. And certainly Saturday was a good example of that.
I think, coach, one of the things that's a good barometer of what kind of team you have is when you face competition. But like you just mentioned in, when we started our conversation, that came ready to play, right? And do you think maybe having a lot of veterans at key positions and players that have a lot of experience kind of helped that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think we showed really good poise Saturday. You know, I thought we kind of played our way through the ups and downs, you know, no panic. We started the game with 2 punts on offense, and they started the game with a 16-play drive for a touchdown with 4 third-down conversions. You know, so it got a little rocky in there earlier. Certainly their crowd got into the game, you know, and I think we gave them a little bit of hope. And then from that point there, we're just trying to bow our way out of that hole. Eventually we did. But I think you're accurate in your statement that, you know, having some veterans, you know, certainly helped us in those moments.
I got to be honest. I'm trying to think of what was a more exciting offensive play, coach. The, like I said, snap that kind of went a little off of Levi Lewis's hands that it became a big play, or the Johnny Lumpkin reception, man. Has that guy not caught like 20 touchdowns a season with those kind of hands, huh?
Yeah, Johnny's from the state of Georgia. Kind of a unique play there where we had him hit at the right tackle position, you know, kind of speed break the huddle there and come out a little bit of a gadget play. But for him to catch the touchdown there in his home state, you know, you could just see our players go crazy on the field, on the sideline. That was a special moment. So really proud of Johnny, you know. A unique story, man, in terms of how he ended up here and how well he's done for himself since he's been here.
Speak with head coach Billy Napier, the Raging Cajuns, going over the 28-20 win back over the last weekend at Georgia Southern. Coach, Levi Lewis, look, a lot of times I think you see those highlights of him running around. Obviously, you saw him score a touchdown on the ground and do those different things. But, coach, when you see some of those passes that he threw, those 2 touchdowns, just beautiful touch and rainbows, some incredible arm talent there as well with Levi.
Yeah, it's a scenario of our offense and of Levi's game that we've kind of made a focal point in the preseason and the offseason. You know, we've had success around here in a lot of different areas on offense, but we've always kind of struggled with the vertical passing game, right? The play action shots. We've had a lot of them open over the years. And, you know, it's good to see us hitting some of those, right? We've had success early in the season, two big ones the other night. But I agree, man. Really elite throws, two exceptional routes. We had good seven-man protection on both. But, you know, great job tracking the ball. You know, Michael Jefferson and Dante Fleming both have another gear and can get behind the defense. But I'm with you, man. Those were big-time throws. And certainly accurate down the field vertical game. That's going to help us.
All right, so on the offensive end, some plays were made, but obviously as we talked about at the beginning of this, Coach, just incredible timely plays and sacks by the defense too. I mean, they had the football on your end of the field, then their minute to play to try to, you know, get a score in that two-point conversion and tie it up. So you always want to see and you like to see when the defense would come up and get either a big sack, force away, and Coach, they really didn't have much chance to have a positive play those last three plays. There was always a Cajun in the backfield causing havoc.
Yeah, challenged our front, you know, going into the game. We felt like that was going to be a big part of this game. And there's no question, you know, outside of that 75-yard run that kind of slid off the table and went the distance, a couple missed tackles, we misfitted a gap there. If you take that play away, we're at 3.3 a carry, which is by far the best we've ever done against Georgia Southern. But I'm with you. I think late in that game, the effort that's on the tape and really the technical execution, right? We're matching the pattern. We had good rush lane integrity. We were on our spokes. We were affecting the quarterback. And then when the, you know, ball declared, we were able to get him on the ground. So, those are some things that really have, we didn't do early in the season. So it's great to see us kind of correct those issues and make those plays in critical moments in this game.
All right, Coach, well, your reward after that is a South Alabama team that's playing pretty well and pretty confident. When you put on the tape, what do you see about the Jags?
Well, I see a group that is playing good complementary team football. There's no question. South Alabama's always had incredible athletes. You know, they've got big, fast, long, explosive players. You know, every year that we've played against them, outside of maybe last year, the first 2 years, man, it was a fist fight and, you know, always a tough physical game. They've always got difference makers. And I think they've got a new staff. They've added 12 to 15 transfers to their roster. A lot on the offensive side of the ball. And, certainly when you combine their offense, defense and game changers, they can present a combination of a team that's got confidence. I think they've won three games. They're, I think they're number one in the country in third down defense, fourth in the country in rushing defense, 18th in scoring. And then offensively much more creative. And featuring the players that they do have. So it's going to be a challenge. We've got to go over there to their place. It'll be a bus trip for us. They had an open date, so they'll be fresh. They'll have a little extra time to prepare. And certainly, you know, I think the big thing here is it's a road game in the Sun Belt Conference, and you got to be ready to go.
You know, Coach, we talked about at the beginning of the season about this conference and the respect that it probably should be getting. I mean, this is a tough stretch for you, right? I mean, you knew that game was going to be tough at Georgia Southern. We just talked about South Alabama, the undefeated. I don't have to really get into the rivalry between you guys and App State. Arkansas State's next. It's a tough stretch in the schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've been here before. You know, I think the big thing is you got to go one task at a time, you know, complete focus on the next challenge, cross each bridge as you come to it. You know, it's part of playing in this league, certainly a very competitive league. We've got a lot of respect for the coaches, the personnel, and some, issues. You know, everybody's got their own grass to mow, right? We've got our own set of problems. I think each team and each staff is managing their situations. And the important thing is that we come up with good solutions to our issues, come up with plans for improvement, continue to get better, and play good team ball each week and try to position the players to have success and get the team in position to win the game.
All right, final question for you, Coach. As we said, getting ready for South Alabama Saturday at 7 p.m., what is the key of keys for your team to come out with win number 4 in the season?
Well, I think, you know, it always comes down to the same things for us. You know, we've got a very specific formula. We need to win the turnover margin. You know, we got to own the ball and attack the ball. I think it's important that we play the situations well, right? For example, third down, you know, is an area where last Saturday on offense, we did not play the situation well. And it affected the overall game. You know, relative to the down and distance, the clock, and certainly the field zones, I think we've got to be situation experts. Fundamentals are important to us. You know, I think there's one-on-one battles taking place at the line of scrimmage, on the edges, on the outside, in the slot, in the kicking game. And we've got to do a good job with our fundamentals and techniques. That's got to be an advantage for us. And we need to be aggressive, and we got to finish, right? We got to finish plays, finish possessions, and ultimately get in position to finish the game. And that's how we try to play winning football. There's no question Saturday will be a big test in all those areas, and we're in the middle of preparing as we speak here.
All right, you can follow Cajun football online, RagingCajuns.com. And, of course, if you want to go on Twitter and give a follow throughout the game, at RagingCajunsFB. Head coach Billy Napier joins us here on Tuesdays. Thank you for your time, as always, Coach.
Gus, thanks for covering our team, man. I'll see you around.
So that's Coach Napier. Up next, the Colonels picking up their first win this past weekend over at John L. Guidry Stadium. Head coach Tim Rebo joins us on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Golden Motors, your Chevrolet dealership, is open 7:30 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Their tow truck is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call 985-696-2869. Their service and sales departments are available to attend to your needs. Golden Motors has been able to secure a fresh and new Chevrolet and Buick inventory, including used inventory. So come on over to Golden Motors, where price is priority. For more info, call Golden Motors at 985-325-1000. Chevy finds new roads.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Rouse's Markets team is right here in our community and in communities all over South Louisiana, working around the clock to help their neighbors in need. They're bringing in fresh groceries and supplies every single day. And good, good, good news, the Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, that store we all know and love, will be back open next Wednesday. Store manager Reggie Lejeune and all of your friends who work at Rouse's will be there. It's going to be a homecoming for sure. Rouse's Markets feels like
home. Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back. Time to talk Colonel football. As we do each and every Tuesday at this time, we welcome in head coach Tim Rebo. Coach, congratulations. Happy Tuesday to you. How are you?
Thank you. And anytime you get that W, you know it's a real happy weekend and Tuesday.
I feel, Coach, like unfortunately we've been opening up your segment by asking you, so what is it like to be not here? Or what is it like to finally get home? But this is it. Now we can actually start talking football because you guys actually finally took to the field to open up a game and a John L. Guidry Stadium. What was that like?
Well, it was a good week of preparation, I think, to start by, you know, being back in our own locker room, being back on our field. And then we actually got to move practice around a little bit because we wasn't totally back in the school. So we got to get some good work in. And then I think, you know, the guys came out on Saturday. We were a little bit sluggish at the beginning, had a couple miscues, but then we really turned it on in the second half.
Coach, when you take a look at just getting out there and getting ready to go and compete, you had a bye week before that. You think that was kind of part of it as well, to just have that week away to, you know, kind of get back into the swing of things, per se?
Yeah, but, you know, we didn't practice one day that whole week we were off, which was it's kind of different, kind of unusual, because usually you try to get some of those guys back up to speed and make some of the corrections that you made in the first couple of games, you know, try to make up for those. But we gave the guys off. But one thing I did say, the guys, when they came back Sunday, they were fresh. They were good. They were ready to go. They took care of some of the business they had to take care of off the field. And I think the preparation, again, like I said, was the whole key. The normal week back in our beds, and everything was really clicking for us.
Coach, 31-14, the victory over North Alabama. Overall, you put the tape on. What were some of the things that you were happy about?
Well, I thought the first half, it was a really evenly played game. We made some mistakes in the first half. We had a holding call on a third and extra long that kept the drive going for them. We had a touchdown call back because we blocked below the waist. We missed a field goal that kind of changed momentum. So when you looked up in the first half, it was 14-3. But one thing that we did, there was no panic at halftime. The guys came in, knew what they had to do. And I thought one of the other things that we did really well, which was an improvement we talked about last week that we had to be better, was we played offensive line was a lot better. Back to the offensive line, mm-hmm. that we know. Julian Gums was back to running hard, and our playmakers were making a play.
Okay, so then there's the correction side. What were some of the things that you mentioned? I guess maybe a faster start, but that can be maybe explainable or not. What are some of the other things you jotted down on a notepad you wanted to address this week?
Well, this week, again, home field advantage. You know, it's a big thing for us. We play well at home. We win at home. That's something we take a lot of pride in on this field and what we do, and that's what we have to do. Now, wipe the slate clean. The old coach talk, we're 0-0. They're 0-0, so it doesn't matter what happens to here. We have a goal about the conference and playoffs and things we want to do, and it all starts this week. That's going to be the message. And, again, we got to take it one day at a time. We got to win this Tuesday today when we go out to practice, and not be thinking about Saturday just yet. I think that's going to be a big key.
Look, obviously, you want to get your offense going, your defense going, things of that nature. How about when the defense kind of turns into offense, getting that 53-yard strip fumble return by Kevin Johnson for the touchdown? It's always good when the defense can put up some points, huh?
That was really, really huge at that point of the game, too. And defensively, if you look back earlier than that in the third quarter, we had a big stop on that first series, and then later on, when they tried to go for it again, and getting points out of it is just an added bonus anytime you can get it. I think this, though, Gus, one of the things that we got to do is, and I hope they come in bunches, and, you know, sometimes we talk about that, we got to create some more turnovers. We got to get some more takeaways on that defensive side of the ball and put our offense in a little better scoring position so they don't have to go 80 all the time.
It's always a good thing as well, not only when they score, but you get that defense that plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Did I read that right? You had 6 sacks in that game, huh?
Yeah, 6 sacks, and I thought I got to give that quarterback credit. He was big. He was 6'4 plus, probably 230. We hit him in the first half, and we couldn't bring him down a couple of times, but another big improvement was our defensive line play. In the second half, we just turned it up. And we kept coming and coming. He was tough. I told him that after the game. He was down a couple of times. They took him out. He'd come back in. I think one time he was spitting up blood. He came back in. He was tough. So hats off to our defensive line because they got after him.
Speaking with head coach Tim Rebo of the Colonels, his team winning 31-14 over the weekend. First win of the season, first game back over at John L. Guidry Stadium. Coach, when you look at the play of the defense as well, What else stood out to you that you think we're going to continue to sort of see? Because in the games before that, too, especially like you had earlier in the season, you saw moments, right, where that defense can kind of hold teams to field goals or just one score in the quarter, giving your offense a shot.
I thought we covered better on the edges, and that's what I'm looking forward to us to continue to do. I thought James Tobin, he was targeted several times. He made some good plays. We were short in the secondary. We got a couple guys that were banged up that didn't go. Kevin Moore, hopefully we can get him to go back. You know, he's been our leader in that back end. He hasn't played. So we were a little short in that back end, so hopefully we can get some guys back and do that. So I was really pleased with that, and I like the way our depth is growing on the defensive side of the ball in that saying, even up front. We played nine defensive linemen up front who's getting good quality time, and I really like the way our linebackers are running to the ball. You know, unfortunately, one of our linebackers got ejected in the second half, and so he'll have to sit out the first half of this game. But I was really proud of Quentin Sharkey, who came back and did a good job and kind of stepped it up in the second half for us.
Coach, your next up, your next opponent's HBU. They're 0-3. That's what the record says. They lost at New Mexico, lost against Northern Colorado at home, and were at Prairie View A&M and lost 37-27. When you put on the tape, though, what kind of football team do you see?
I see a team that's really going to be wounded and hungry. They're going to be coming here. Again, they had an open date last week. They did not play, so they'll be fresh. They had 2 weeks to prepare for us. They had a quarterback who went down against Prairie View, so now they'll be playing their second quarterback, so that'll be a little bit different. Again, me and you talked last week, we'd have to figure out which quarterback was going to play for North Alabama. Well, we're going to kind of see if it's the same game plan with the new quarterback coming in this week, so that'll be determined early on. You know, if they're going to simplify some things for them or continue in the same offense that they've done, but we got to look at, and we've had their number the last couple of years, but our guys just need to look at how this game has been a battle every year that we played them. And these guys keep coming and coming. The last couple of years, we had a couple one-score games. A couple of years ago here, we had to score in the last play of the game to beat them. So this is going to be a good college football game. Again, don't look at their 0-3 record. Look at what they've done in the past against us.
I guess you're battling that, and you're also battling, we all know what's next Saturday, Southeastern.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. I mean, see, I shouldn't have said.
They just know it's 1 week. Gidry Stadium. We got the Huskies coming down. That's it. Let's take care of business this week.
I'm sorry. You know what I'll do for the podcast? I'll get Buddy to erase that. That will never make it at all. We don't need any of your players listening to that. No. I'll say this, though. I know we touched on it last week. We got phone calls over at the studio. You know, what's the game plan? How do you watch the game and everything? And we touched on it and kind of closed on it last Tuesday, Coach, knowing that you're playing for that community and knowing that you're just at least for that 3-4 hours or so, it's a welcome distraction, I guess you look at it like that. I can't imagine that's not going to continue to grow here in this three-game homestand. This is game 2 of 3. You're going to have the Lions at your place next weekend. So it's nice to kind of have this, I think, at this time in the season with what you guys have gone through to have 3 straight home games.
Just talking to a bunch of people around this past weekend and so far this week, it was a welcome sight. The tailgating, we had to relocate the tailgating a little bit because of some things going on in our parking lot. But, man, these people were so excited to get out there and tailgate. And then it was an early enough kickoff, and they still were partying after the game. And so I hopefully we can help that again, everybody feeling good. But it was a good crowd, Josh. I'm telling you, it was over 7,000 people. And what our guys did to put this game on, it was a very, very welcoming sight.
Head Coach Tim Rebo on Tuesdays. If you'd like to chat with him, if you want to go and follow the very latest on the Colonels, gokernels.com is the way to go check that out over on social media. It's Nichols FB. As always, Coach, appreciate the time that you give us on Tuesdays. Good luck to you. Next Tuesday, hopefully, we're talking about another win. And that's two. That'd be a winning streak, Coach.
I like winning streaks. Let's see if we can get a couple. I'm going, but it starts with the next one. Thank you, guys.
Sounds good. As always, a pleasure. At Nichols _FB. Don't forget the underscore on Twitter. Quick break. We come back. Head coach Willie Fritz. The Green Wave hosted UAB last weekend over at Yeoman as they were finally back in their own stadium. Didn't go so well. They picked up a loss. We'll find out what he took out of that. We come back on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bedbugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Other banks charge fees on savings and checking accounts. Doesn't sound good, does it? Capital One reimagined banking, so it sounds more like this. With Capital One, you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. Get started now at a Capital One location or online. Sound good to you? This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Approval required. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Joins us, as he does on Tuesdays, at GreenWave FB on Twitter. If you want to go online, TulaneGreenWave.com, the school's athletic website, will give you the very latest of what's going on in the world of Tulane football. Coaches, always appreciate your time on Tuesdays. How are you, sir?
Good, Gus.
Coach,
me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. Look, obviously our Tuesdays are a lot better when you come off of a victory, Coach. UAB in town last weekend, and you told us during the week and said it during your press conference and afterwards that this is a team that's very good. Look, the Big 12 or, well, I'm sorry, the AAC maybe even looking at bringing them in, whatever. They're a good football team, and they came out and jumped out early, and it was almost too much to overcome, I think your exact words. What was it, a 21-0 lead early, huh?
Yeah, we didn't play very well early. We had a turnover early, led to points. We had a couple opportunities to tie the game, win the game, and had some drop passes and didn't tackle as well as we needed to. Defensively, a lot of the credit goes to UAB. They played really well. Did a very nice job against it.
Coach, when you look at a game sort of like that and it starts off that way, does it put a little pressure to kind of get going quickly, and maybe some players try to do other things to that they wouldn't normally do that maybe kind of exacerbates the case a bit?
Oh, I'm not sure. You know, we got it down to 21-14.
Right.
We received the opening kick in the second half, and we're hoping we could get 2 points there and get, you know, right back in it. Weren't able to get it. Just blew a couple of good chances. They had ball. They've been first and goal from about the four. We dropped the ball, you know, right in our hands. Had a couple other drops that I thought, you know, could have, you know, led us some points as well. You know, so there are some guys played well. Some guys didn't play as well as they needed to. I was really proud of our quarterback. I thought Michael Pryor, he didn't practice all week. And didn't throw a ball all week. He hurt his shoulder the week before, and our backup Justin Idietta wasn't able to play either. And a little concerned we were going to have to play with our 13 guy. And Michael was able to come out and play and did a good job of fighting through it. seem like it's healthy now. But you know, it you know, in football, you got to have a lot of guys that are available.
And, right.
We got some guys got some opportunities and did a really good job with those opportunities. But you know, that's something that's a little unique in this sport than maybe some others.
Coach, you were missing some guys on the defensive end as well.
Yeah, we had some guys on the defensive side, Larry Brooks, Nick Anderson, a couple of really solid defensive players for us weren't able to play. And, you know, it's just as guys got to step up and, you know, they take advantage of their opportunity. And then, you know, we got to do a good job of, you know, adjusting the calls and how we're going to do things. And we just didn't quite get it done.
Speak with head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave. He said last week as well that one of the messages that you were giving to your team was, Coach, that part of the season, what was it, a third of the season to be wrapped up after, since time to kind of step up and get going. When you look at, I guess, from the beginning to this, is it hard to look past the unusualness of how the first part of the season started? I mean, it's kind of part of the DNA as to maybe why the record sort of is the way it is?
Oh, you know, you want to be able to fight through all the adversity.
Sure.
You know, one of the mistakes I probably made is, you know, we came back into town Sunday, got back in Sunday night from Birmingham, and then we went into another hotel. You know, and we stayed in the hotel all week. We finally got out Friday morning to be able and get into our own place, and then we'd already signed a contract to stayed at a hotel the night before the ball game. So they got back on Friday morning. They went and checked their houses, see how everything was doing, the residence halls. And we came out and practiced Friday afternoon and ended up going back out to the hotel. So this will be really our first week that's been normal with the guys staying at their place. Campus is opened up now. We're having in-person classes. So you know, it's back to normal, and we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I think guys are excited that, you know, we're on a regular routine.
I mean, look, it can't be overlooked, right? I mean, we're listening to some Saints players after the game, and they were all ecstatic. They were chanting, Coach, after their win, "We're going home." So grown men and adults, if they feel like that, obviously it's got to, you know, affect everybody, including kids, to be able to do that. All right, that said, you have at least some sense of normalcy. And, Coach, do you do a simple message like this and just say, look, you wipe the slate clean here, four games in, but none of them have been conference games. Starting this week at ECU, it's now conference games for the rest of the way. So maybe you kind of look at it like that?
Yeah, we did. That's what we talked about on Monday when we had our team meeting and showed how much season's left, how every single game that we have left is a conference game. That's always one of our goals, to compete for conference championship, get conference wins. So yeah, you're right. That's an easy way to, you know, kind of turn the page from all the uncertainty we've had to battle here the first few weeks, and you know, do the very best we can in conference, and start with East Carolina this weekend.
ECU 2-2 on the season. They have yet to play in conference play as well. As a matter of fact, just the Cougars and Navy, the only teams in the conference that have played. Look at the top of the standings. You have Houston, SMU, Cincy, ranked now 7th. Memphis, ECU, Temple, South Florida. That's where Tulane is right after that as well. When you just kind of take a quick snapshot of the conference, and we'll get into the game, Coach, what are you seeing so far early on through 3-4 games of the AAC?
Well, just strong league. You know, it's a lot of good teams, a lot of firepower offensively, defensively. You know, I think it's, as we've said many times before, it's one of the top conferences in the country. And, you know, the winner of this league is going to be a team that's going to play in a, you know, New Year's Day Bowl and be a top 10 team in the country.
When you look at ECU, the Pirates, as we mentioned, 2-2, what do you see when you put the film on?
Well, a bunch of guys that have played for a long time. That quarterback seems like he's been there for about 15 years. I think it's his fifth year as a starter, I believe, in COVID last year. And he's really accurate, big lefty, runs the ball better than you think. We're going back out there again. I think we're the only team in the conference that got, you know, back-to-back trips to a couple teams that we played at their place last year as well.
Right.
So, good place to play, really. A good stadium, good grass surface. And, you know, they got a little receiver that had a number 22. He's had a lot of success this year. He's also a great punt and kick returner. And, you know, they've had a tough schedule as well. Played App State. I think ranked in top 25. You know, then had South Carolina took them down to the very, very end of the game. Lost by 3 points. You know, played a good Marshall team at their place. So it's going to be a very, very tough ball game for us. We're looking forward to the challenge on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the keys you think on offense and defense, maybe some matchups to maybe favor you?
Well, number one, we got to do a good job, you know, controlling the ball. We were -2 turnover takeaway, and it's hard to win when you're -2. We got to do a much better job of ball security and staying away from the interceptions. We had a big fumble early in the ball game last week that led to their points. You know, after a catch for a first down, kind of, you know, flip the script and win in their favor. So we got to do a good job with the turnover takeaway. You know, we need to get our running game going. We've, mm-hmm. you know, got some really good backs. We've ran the ball very effectively here and just need to get some more success running the football. I think that will help us out immensely and help us play complementary football.
You mentioned how their starting quarterback's been there for a bit, so obviously it's a guy that knows the system and everything. What kind of challenges does that present to your defense?
Well, he just knows where to go with the ball. You know, they've got a few different formations, personnel groupings that they run, and you know, they've had the same offensive coordinator the last 3 years, so they're, you know, the young man knows exactly what they're doing and who he needs to go to, and got to do a good job not giving away too many pre-snap keys to him so that he's not locked in on where he's going to go with the ball, you know, before the ball's even snapped. You got to make sure he's making, you know, post-snap decisions on where he's going with the football.
All right, Coach, Tulane over at ECU over the weekend. Let's hope that next Tuesday, sir, we'll be talking about a victory in the Wave, can even up things and get to 2-3 on the season.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it, Gus. Roll Wave.
For sure. If you want to go check out Tulane, the very latest, TulaneGreenWave.com. It's the athletic website. And, of course, if you want to go check them out on Twitter, at GreenWaveFB. Don't forget, folks, that's the NFL season's off and running. You know that already. Obviously, we've been talking Saints and all that. But do you have the app? You should have it right by now. The DraftKings app, it's free. And when you get in there, you can get off and running and a chance to win millions of dollars in prizes. It's real simple. Download the DraftKings app now. Then put in the code LROSE. Then you get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. And remember, it is completely different than, say, doing something like our fantasy football league with Jordan the intern. DraftKings, safe, secure, reliable, not Jordan. DraftKings it is. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. I promise you, you give Jordan a dollar, five, ten, doesn't matter. You're never seeing it, right? So you can withdraw, deposit your cash any way you want. It's safe, secure, reliable. You can win millions of dollars. Are you seeing why this is not a bad thing? Go do it. Go download the DraftKings app now. Put in the code LaRose. When we come back, we'll hear from head coach Frank Selfo, the Lions, as his team gets ready to get back in action. They're coming off of a bye week. Plus, coming up in hour number two, Matty Hudak will join us in studio. We'll break down more of the Saints' win at New England. What to kind of expect going into this week's game. Remember, Saints and Giants coming up Sunday in the Caesars Superdome. New Orleans is an 8-point favorite. Wow, imagine that. And their offense still hasn't got going the way we'd like to. Passing-wise, running, they're doing a good job. It's about throwing the football, or is it? I don't know. What's the new identity? Are they defensive-led? It's interesting. We'll touch on that in hour number two. We'll take your phone calls here as well. Coming up next, Frank Selfo on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Sometimes I think it's insanity. Go the way.
Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Schatz always here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit our website at visionsourceadvancedeyecutoff.com.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So your wipers are streaking? It might be time for a new set. We've got a great deal to help you get the job done and get ready for that rainy fall weather. Right now, you can get a $15 AutoZone gift card when you buy 2 Bosch Envision wiper blades. And we've even got more ways to shop. Just order online with our free same-day store pickup or next-day delivery.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Start your job today at AutoZone.com. Restrictions apply.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. As we wait to get head coach Frank Self on, he'll be giving us a buzz here in a quick second. Give me an opportunity. I know Jordan's listening. Matt Nagy today. Apparently all three. If you've played quarterback, if you got a QB in front of your name, you're all going to be considered as a possible starter for this week's upcoming game. Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, Nick Foles. It doesn't matter. If you got a QB in front of it, I'm considering all y'all. Did you hear Dan Orlovsky yesterday? First off, the NFL analysts, you know, Ryan Clark as well, they lost their minds on Nagy yesterday. This was Orlovsky. I had to play this. Just didn't get a chance to yesterday.
Listen, I have, because I'm aware of the human element of this. I've called for coaches to get fired twice because it was Adam Gase
coach killer.
And Freddie Kitchens. I don't understand how you can keep him as the coach. I'm trying to be dead honest. How can you, for me, it's either, are you in, Jay, you had 149 days. This was the kid that you, Matt Nagy, said, I wanted to go. That was the guy that I wanted in the draft.
And what he's talking about and what he was bringing up was the fact that in a lot of their plays on Sunday, they did a very, very poor job of either protecting him or in some cases, you know, again, just no protection, 5 people in there and the Browns and Garrett was just, I mean, it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. People thought Justin Fields was going to get killed out there. I mean, it really honestly was. Again, it's not funny. But that morning on Get Up, everyone was like, we should apologize to Mitch Trubisky. And I swore I was waiting for Jordan just to call because if that was the case, then yeah, you know, maybe it wasn't Mitch's fault.
Listen, I have, cause I'm aware of the human element of
this. And again, the human element, as he keeps saying, is something that is interesting, but, yeah. So I don't know. What is that case? As, we'll discuss that with Matt Hudak in the 2 o'clock hour about whether or not it's an issue at quarterback or not. Is there something that, hey, you just keep going and see how it works out? Look, I said it with Amy just there. I think over the next 3 games until you get into the bye and get things worked out and more receivers and quarterbacks have more time on task, man, you go with that 2 QB system and see how things go for sure because that would make a little sense, right? So we'll address that coming up next hour, but it's time to talk Lion football. Lions 2-1 when we last chatted with head coach Frank Selfo. They're coming off of a 56-10 win over in Central Connecticut. They haven't played a home game yet. It will come next month, I promise. At least this month, coach, to start things off, or that you'll be in Louisiana at McNeese, at Nichols, and then eventually you will play at Strawberry Stadium. Good afternoon to you, coach. How are you?
Gus, I'm doing great, man. You're right. It's been a while, but we are back in the state, so that's a good thing.
All right, you said last week you had to get some things done, so you weren't going to invite me over for a barbecue and things of that nature, not only some things to the house, but also to try to improve your football team. How did last week go?
I was really pleased with the focus that our guys had last week. You know, we took last week to, and I think you always do this in open date, you always there's some look inside and find out what we need to do better in all phases. And I thought our guys did a really good job. We really tore us down. We tore ourselves down and started putting the pieces back together and really critiqued each and every player and situation, coach, everything. And I thought our guys did a good job responding. Our practices last week were crisp. We're in full pads. We had a lot of live periods, and got a lot of good stuff done.
So, Coach, when you take a look at the first three games, you kind of have this little break here. What were some of the things that you did like from the football team? I mean, you got two wins, obviously, but some of the things that were positive, maybe things that you were happy to see start off in a good way to start the season?
Well, I think probably, and it's pretty clear, I think the biggest thing was our ability to have explosive plays offensively. You know, we did a good job protecting the quarterback. I think our offensive line, from that standpoint, our receivers did a nice job. And the things that they were doing, and then Cole delivered throwing the football. So the explosive plays that we had, especially in the pass game, was a plea. That was really good for us. And then defensively, the growth we had as far as physicality and running to the football, those are the things that we were lacking in the spring, and we did a much better job. And you could see us getting better each and every week, no matter who we were playing. You know, we got more physical. Keeping Central Connecticut, who wanted to run the ball against us,
right,
holding those guys less than 100 yards. So it was good. You know, those are the two things that really stuck out on us.
I think one of the things, too, Coach, is you always want to get tested a little bit early, right, and especially right before conference play. And that game at Louisiana Tech, again, you guys dropped it 45-42, went back and forth the win. Nice second half, fourth quarter comeback by you guys, and we're driving and maybe could have tied a game or taken the lead, we don't know, before turnover. What did you learn from that game that maybe prepares you or helps you as conference play starts this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's the same as always. When you're faced with adversity, how do you respond to it? And our players were faced with adversity throughout the entire game. We got behind early, and we turned it over, and they had a pick six, and they continued to stay ahead of us, and we couldn't quite get the lead from Louisiana Tech. But we kept banging up in there and tying it up and falling behind three or coming back on them. And, you know, even right there at the end when they scored, there was no panic. And I thought that was the best thing. The way we handled the adversity really told me a lot about our guys. Not that I didn't already know it, but it just, it solidified the thought process that, hey, you know what, it doesn't matter what these guys are faced with, they're going to respond in a positive way. We didn't get the win, but there's growth that comes from that. And I think COVID helped us out because we were able to respond to so many changes, so many things that took place that, you know, adversity. And then, when you come around Hurricane Ida, same thing. And we had so many changes and some adversity and just no routine-oriented stuff that we could do, and we were able to do it. And then, Louisiana Tech, that was a game that there was a lot of ups and downs in that game, and our guys just continued to grind and move forward.
Speaking with Southeastern football head coach Frank Selfo, Saints head coach, mentioned, he was asked a question this week that if all of the weeks being on the road kind of made it to where it became normal, I kind of joked about it when I brought you on, you're at least in the state, but can it become normal to where the next two are on the road, even though you're in the state, but it's on the road? Can it almost become a sense of normalcy that you've been doing this for a bit?
Well, I don't know if it's that. I think it's, you wake up on Monday morning and you start grinding on your next opponent.
Gotcha.
And you really don't care where you're playing them. You just want to play, right? And you go through that whole process throughout the course of the week as your preparation advances. And then on Friday, you decide whether you travel or you stay at home. And that's really the only day that anything takes place. You wake up Saturday morning, your routine's the same, whether you're at home or on the road. Mm-hmm. The times are the same. Your itinerary's the same. It's really that one day, Friday, whether you're traveling or you're staying in your own bed. That's the only difference. The preparation during the course of the week doesn't change. But I don't know. I'd rather be playing on the road than not playing at all, you know. So the opportunity to play, I think, is where, you know, you just feel blessed that you're able to step out on the field and give it your all and put, you know, show what you got, man. You got an opportunity to do it. You only have so many during the course of a season. And when you get a chance to do it, man, go do it. Cause don't make excuses about it because nobody cares about that.
Saturday, high noon, going to be taking on the Cowboys' McNeese over there. When you look at them, look, the record says 1-3, and coach, they're coming off of a 31-0 loss. I got to imagine you probably know what that would be like. In other words, they're probably itching to get back on the field and might, you know, have the old phrase, backs against the wall, angry football team. What do you expect on Saturday at noon? What kind of football team you're about to face?
Well, I expect to get the best shot. I didn't play the best this past weekend, and I'm sure they'll tell you the same. You know, interesting stat this week. Southeast has only won twice in Lake Charles since they brought football back in 2003. So it's not a place where we feel comfortable playing historically as a program. And McNeese has a great history in that stadium. They've really played well. So the last time I was there, we got beat. Cody Orgeron led them on a 2-minute drive right at the end of the game to beat us. And you know, he's still there. He's been there for like he's been at McNeese longer than Ed's been at LSU, I believe. And he's a fiery guy, competitive guy, and he's going to lead them. And you know, we're going to get their best shot, and we better bring our own best shot, because if we don't, then it's not going to turn out the way we want it to.
All right. Well, Coach, Southland Conference play starts for you guys, and I look forward to talking to you on Tuesdays. And again, at least you're back in the state, so it's a little different, a little better, and now we can focus on it too. I still would have liked to barbecue with you, though, but you know what? Let's get the season over, and then we'll hang out. How about that?
Yeah. You know what? I got a bone to pick, too, because you went to Southern Miss. You graduated there in 98, and that's the year we beat y'all pretty soundly when I was at Tulane when we went undefeated, and we beat y'all pretty good that year. So,
I don't remember much of that, though, to be honest with you. No, you bring up a good point, though, because the rivalries, I never understood why the conferences split with that. I just, it really was, honestly, and I do remember, Coach, I'm being honest. Anytime Tulane came to play, baseball, basketball, football, it was either going to be a loss or a very tough game if you got a win. I mean, it really was. It was fun every time those rivalries met.
Yeah, we played some great Southern Miss teams back then, and you know that back in the 90s and early 2000s, there were some great games. We were fortunate in that 98 game to win, and that allowed us to keep our season undefeated when I was at Tulane. But it was great rivalry. They should have never stopped that. They should continue to play that one.
No doubt. Well, your team's off to a nice start, and you will take on McNeese Saturday at noon. 2-1 Lions, head coach Frank Selfo, always enjoy the time. Thank you for cutting out a little bit of your Tuesday afternoons with us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, for sure. You want to go follow them online, real easy on Twitter, at LionUpFootball. And, of course, their athletic website, lionsports.net. When we come back, Miss Maddie Hudak, she is ready in studio. Laptop is open. You got the glasses going. You have this whole or about you, you're ready to dive in to what we're about to be talking about here in the Saints 2-1 start. I think it's remarkable. I've already told Orlando, who called earlier, they go 4-1 into the bye week. We're having a party that Monday. The Monday after the Washington football game, if they're 4-1 with everything this team, I've almost come to expect who's getting hurt this week. Who's getting COVID this week? What happened? I mean, did they have to bust because the plane doesn't fly? Like, what do they have to deal with this week? So I'll shut up. I'll go to break. We'll talk Saints football. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Gentlemen, now you can find the best brands and fits for you without even trying. Just follow these easy instructions. Step 1. Shop a personalized store that does all the work for you by customizing a selection for your taste and body. Step 2. Level up your closet with the best brands and fits with little to no effort. Not trying has never looked so good. Introducing Stitch Fix Freestyle, your personalized store.
We're so you.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on. So don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
Are you struggling to pay rent and utilities due to financial impacts of COVID-19? The federal hold on evictions has ended, but help is available for both renters and landlords now, so don't wait till it's too late. Apply today at lastaterent.com or call 877-459-6555. lastaterent.com, 877-459-6555, or dial 211 for more information. Sponsored by the Louisiana Housing Corporation.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back to Sports Hangover. It is hour number three. Coming up this hour, your phone calls. Miss Maddie Hudak, Saints Wire, and of course, we got a lot to get into. First off, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing swell. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So we'll talk a little Saints football. Pels practice wrapped up a little bit ago. The first practice here in the city, in their own facility. They've been in Nashville for 2 weeks. They're going to get a report from Ollie Cosell before the end of the hour, around 2:45-ish. Just a quick, what did he actually see? Zion was on the court, not practicing with the team. He was working on his own. You know, Matty, a whole broken foot thing is getting better. I don't even want to get into it. It's a good week, right? Because the Saints won. There was some cool weather, and more importantly, things are slowly starting to get to normal in and around certain places of the state. Obviously, the metro area doing a little bit better than the Bayou and River parishes, but Tim Acosta from Rouse's joins us now to talk about how this week coming up, there's some sense of normalcy starting to get there. First off, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Gus. Good afternoon. Thanks for having us on here today. Everybody's ready to get back to normal, but every day is getting better and better, you know? So, one good thing that I did want to bring out is that our golden medal location down there in South Lafourche, you know, we have a planned re-grand opening of that store tomorrow. It's September 29th, you know, 1 month to the day after Ida came ashore. Mm-hmm. The store's been in there. The team's been in there getting it ready, and we're having it ready to open up tomorrow. But I actually got a little bit of good news. They were so far ahead of schedule, they actually opened the doors up this afternoon. So as of right now, our location in Golden Meadow is now open for everybody listening down there. We'll be open till 6 o'clock today.
I got to imagine, Tim, that was no small undertaking to get that happening and to get that open for everybody. Because, look, obviously, power, cleaning up, getting all that together. If people can imagine, obviously, their homes, imagine a grocery store that has to do that. You have to have employees and people that can do that as well. And that area in Golden Meadow affected so heavily. What was that process like, Tim, to get this store open? And obviously, you know the need to get it open, but the process to that point.
Well, the first thing we had to do with that particular location, it sustained some, quite a bit of damage to the roof and all that. Water got in there, and it was just a mess. And all the product in there had to be destroyed, you know, just because of the fact of everything being exposed to the elements and all. But luckily, I mean, down there we were able to get our LaRose location open further up the road. On the four lane right there, and so we when our employees and team members started coming back, you know, they helped out at that location, because that location was doing serving that whole South Lafourche area. They were the only store open, and we managed to get that one open within three days right after the storm had passed, you know. But Reggie and his team, our store director Reggie LeJean, they did an outstanding job getting the store restocked. You know, we had our facility service team, you know, had to do a lot of work, get the roofs repaired and just get everything cleaned up and the refrigerated cases running again. And this had some minor electrical problems as well. So it wasn't just like putting on a switch. You know, it took us almost a month. But we're glad we finally got that store back open to begin serving the community down there.
I promise I wasn't going to ask this, but I know it's an important thing. How's the beer coolers? It's stocked? Is the beer cold? I mean, we got games to worry about, right? We got tailgates. The Saints are playing. I just need to know. It's the beer cooler nice and stocked, Tim.
The beer is stocked. The beer is cold. The cooler is full. And, yeah, we're ready for some football and everything from our Friday night high school to LSU and Nichols and then the Saints on Sunday, you know. So, yeah. But no, we're just glad to be there. It is stocked. It's ready. And one other thing I do want to do a little special shout out about tomorrow. We're having some pasta lye being prepared by a TikTok chef, TikTok sensation. The guy's actually from the Labrador area. It's called the Stale Cracker. And, he's coming down in from, the Hammond area and he'll be cooking a pasta lye for about 300 people tomorrow that we'll be serving. Starting around 11 o'clock. So I just want to tell everybody, come on out there. You know, they can get their groceries, do their shopping for groceries. And
yeah.
From about 11, we'll start serving some hot pasta lye, too, for about 300 or so. And we just so grateful and thankful to be open and ready to serve the community again.
Once again, Tim Acosta with Rouse is letting everybody know the Golden Meadows store. Actually, the doors are open today. They got ahead of schedule. So, I can't imagine it, obviously, from a certain standpoint. I got lucky in the storm. We've all went through with whether it's, you know, Katrina, this storm, or last summer in a lot of parts of the state. And I know it doesn't sound like a big thing to people that don't go through it, but literally having to restock your house, restock your fridge, getting stuff to sort of get back into the swing of things in some sort of sense of normalcy, it's an undertaking. It's an uncomfortable feeling, isn't it, Tim? I like waiting in line and doing all those things, but when you get home and finally there's food in the fridge and you've cleaned it out, it doesn't smell anymore and all those stuff. I mean, it's finally starting to get there, but you'd still drive around and it's crazy to think we're a month from it, but it seems like in a lot of places it was last weekend.
Yeah, a lot of places are recovering, getting better. There's still a lot of places in Lower Lafourche, Lower Terrebonne that still have a lot of ways to go. A lot of people still don't have power down there, and so we just got, you know, we can't forget about them, and that's why we were just so anxious to get the store open to make it more convenient for people coming in from, you know, the southern part of the parish, and instead of coming all the way up to the roads, you know, to cut about, you know, 15 miles off their drive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have one location at the La Rose cutoff, our original location down there in Highway 1. That building took substantial damage, and there's no way we can get that one opened up anytime soon. So we're trying to figure out where we go at with that particular building. But it really sustained a lot of damage. It was very, very bad.
If you want to go find out the hours here as well, because that's something to kind of get accustomed to. Not everything is open to the times that we've had in the past. And not that it's happened, Tim, that, you know, you might need a bottle of wine. You go, is it open? And you don't know if that store is open or not. Easiest way to do it as, you know, I'm just saying a friend of mine find out me. Rouses.com. Click on store updates. And there from the Bayou area, West Bank, Metairie, New Orleans, It every store that you have, sir, it's there. They're the hours, the locations. It's pretty simple. So Rouses.com, it's right on the homepage. It's at the top. Click store updates. All of the latest hours are there.
Great. Yep. Yeah, we keep them up to date. And right now, you know, a lot of the stores are still working on limited hours due to our staff. We're not up to 100% on the staffing yet. And so, therefore, you know, we have to condense the hours during the daytime. But those stores down there will be open till 6 o'clock. Both La Rose and the Golden Meadow location will be open till 6 today, and tomorrow the hours are 7 to 6, and they'll be that going through the weekend. And as soon as we can extend them, we will be doing it as soon as we can. So,
all right, so great news. It was supposed to be tomorrow. It's open now. So 7 to 6 p.m. over in Golden Meadow and La Rose. Tim Acosta with Rouses. Thank you so much, sir. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Gus. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
For sure. Quick break. Coming up in a little bit, but first let's set up what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of minutes. Maddie, as we have a few minutes here, we have about 5 or 6 minutes to kind of delve in just general thoughts, really, of what you saw. Saints are 2-1. It's incredible to think they go into this game against the Giants here finally in the Dome. Did you hear what Amy just said earlier in the show?
I did not.
She said the last time the Superdome was sold out, that you had a filled dome, was LSU winning the national championship with Joe Burrow.
Wow. Also, that was a double entendre on Amy just earlier on the show.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, when you think about it, it's true. Yeah, I know there was a season that was played last year, but it was COVID. You had some fans later in the season, but it started out with no fans in the dome.
Yeah,
with
Tampa. As one of those handful of fans there later on in the season, it was about as sad of a song as you could imagine.
Look, you and I were there talking, you know, for the Jaguar game, and it was nice. It was nice to actually hear a crowd. It was nice to smell dome foam and, you know, and kind of hear the cheering and stuff like that. But it was nowhere near a sellout. I'm actually very excited to see what it's going to be like on Sunday. You know, Sean Payton, I played this a little bit earlier. It's true. It's been a while since they've played and that actually benefits them with the noise. And this is what he said yesterday in his conference call in the afternoon.
I don't think so. It's going to be nice. It's the first time we're playing in a full stadium where the crowd noise benefits us since what? You'd have to go back all the way till two seasons ago. And so, that's a big advantage when the opponent has trouble communicating. And I know defensively it's an edge relative to your rush patterns and your timing. And I know just as a team it'll be good, you know, getting back in front of our home crowd. So the focus still has to be on all the things necessary to win. But certainly having a chance to play at home, and it seems like it's been a quite a while.
Maddie, we saw firsthand the crowd have an effect in Carolina on the Saints a bit. We saw a little bit of them handle it better, obviously, in New England, but it's just nuts to think and wrap your head around that the last time the Superdome was filled was that long ago, and man, it matters. There's no way it doesn't matter.
It matters, but it's weird because back then, there's no noise when Drew Brees is under center, and, you know, it really benefited the defense not to have that type of crowd roaring noise. But it really, the time is like kind of necessary for the offense to kind of have that calm stillness. Mm-hmm. And the defense really doesn't need, honestly, a competitive edge of noise at this point. To me, I think they've proven that they can basically do what they did when Drew Brees went out both times the last two seasons, which is win football games on their side of the ball as long as the offense does enough to keep the score, you know, at an even keel, right, and not slide backwards.
It's nuts. Look, obviously, everything you've dealt with, I was sitting there at Pelicans Media Day yesterday, and